Welcome to everyone, and we'll just sing a few verses of a hymn to start the meeting. Number 61 in the green book. Oh, would you know your sins forgiven? Christ is all. Would you a title have to heaven? Christ is all. To cleanse your soul from every stain, to save you from eternal pain, and make your way to heaven plain. Christ is all. Number 61. Oh, would you know your sins forgiven? Christ is all, Christ is all. Would you a title back to him? Christ is all, Christ is all. To cleanse your soul from every stain, to save you from eternal pain, and make your way to heaven plain. Christ is all, Christ is all. To meet a guilty sinner's need, Christ is all, Christ is all. You need not any merit plea. Christ is all, Christ is all. When on the altar he was laid, the ransom price he fully paid, and peace with God for sinners made. Christ is all, Christ is all. To try to help yourself is vain. Christ is all, Christ is all. Your labors cannot cleanse a stain. Christ is all, Christ is all. 'Tis not of works, but all of grace in Christ God offers you a place in which to stand before his face. Christ is all, Christ is all.
Perhaps we should make that do for that hymn, because I see time's getting round, so we'll leave the meeting to you, April.
Again, we extend a very warm welcome to you. It has to be a warm welcome, doesn't it? If we were to extend a cold welcome to you, we'd be freezing. So we do extend a warm welcome to you. Thank you very, very much for coming, and trust that you, by being here, will hear the voice of God through his spoken word. Now, I was enjoying that hymn, but that's fine. We'll sing another hymn together. Number 488. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Saviour, Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. We'll just sing the first and the third verse. The first and the third verse and the chorus standing.
Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Speak to thee, the living God, and publicly ask for help. Help in the reading and in the understanding and in the declaration of thy word. Grant this we ask, giving thanks now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me again to the Gospel according to Luke, where we've been these past few nights, and chapter 18. The third book in the Gospel, chapter 18. Sorry, the third book in the Gospel. The third book in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. We'll take our reading from verse number 35, Luke 18, verse 35, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, this is the Lord Jesus, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. If you were with us last night, you would remember that we were reading from chapter 16. If you weren't with us, that's fine. We'll just remember briefly what we were reading about in chapter 16. Now we read together about a man who was a very rich man, a man that would seem to indicate in the scriptures that he was of royal stock. He was a royal man. Not only was he rich and abounding in riches, but he was royalty. We would take that from the fact that he was dressed in purple. And in those days, it would have usually have been a royal person that was dressed in purple. We would remember, of course, that they dressed the Lord Jesus in a purple robe and bowed the knee and mocked him at the trial of his crucifixion. Hail, King of the Jews, as they mocked the blessed Son of God. And here was a man, a rich man, who was dressed in purple, and the Bible says that he fared sumptuously every day. That would literally mean for us that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he had what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted. He could have had what he wanted at the drop of his, at the click of his fingers, at the drop of a hat. This man was abounding in wealth. And the world would have said he wanted for nothing. We found last night that that man wanted for the greatest need a person has. And sadly last night we saw this, that as we speak in Mornington this evening, that man is still with his great want. He's still with his great need. He's in eternity now. And the Bible tells us that he went down to hell. He went down to hell not because he was rich, not because he ignored the poor man at his gate, not because he was greedy, not because he was selfish. He went down to hell because he rejected God's salvation. You see, I'm greedy by nature. I'm selfish. I've committed grievous sins. I deserve to go down to hell. But I'm thankful to be able to tell you tonight that I'm on my way to heaven. Why? Because I've trusted the Son of God. The Son of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still available this evening. He's still available to be trusted. He's still available to save you. I'm thankful that we've read together of a man who found the availability of the Lord Jesus Christ. If others wanted to tell this man to shut up and sit down and get out the way, I'm very thankful the Lord Jesus was available to save him. I'm very thankful it wasn't the attitude of the Lord Jesus. We'll see this in a moment when we get to the portion that we've read. But you would notice that the people that told him to sit down and get out of the way and shut up, and they rebuked him that he would be silent, they were the people that were going ahead of the Lord Jesus. They weren't the people that were following the Lord Jesus. And the people that were ahead of the Lord Jesus had the wrong attitude. And they misunderstood who the Lord Jesus was. Maybe they were there, as Len has been reading to us in the Gospel according to John. Maybe they were just there to see the miracles. They were there, maybe all hyped up and just tagging along and going along in front and with the throngs and with the crowds, and not really there to follow the Saviour, not really there as saved people. I wonder if there's someone in the meeting. You know, there's another man in the Bible. His name was Herod. He was a king. And when the Lord Jesus was on trial to be crucified, Pilate, he sent the Lord Jesus down to Herod. And it records for us in this book, the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 23, it records for us that when Herod saw the Lord Jesus, he was pleased. For he had waited a long season to see him and had hoped that he would see some miracle done by the Lord Jesus. And he didn't. And the Lord Jesus stayed silent. And it tells us in the Gospel record that the men that were gathered around Herod, they took the Lord Jesus and they blindfolded him and they buffeted him on the face. Such was the cruelty and hatred of mankind towards the Son of God. But dear friend, that's my heart this evening by nature. That's your heart this evening by nature. We have cruel, hard, godless hearts that we just want God out of our lives. We want to live our lives the way we want to live our lives. Oh, if we can see some miracle, if we can see some great thing, that would be good. If we can get caught up in the hype, if we can be religious. But following Christ along the narrow pathway, sins, turn my back on my sins, turn my back on my religion, I'm not too sure about that. And Herod, he was just interested in seeing a miracle. He wasn't interested in the salvation that the Lord Jesus offered. Maybe these people were the same as they went on before the Lord Jesus, telling a poor blind beggar at the side of the road who was crying out for mercy, just get out the way, will you? Just shut up. Well, friend, we want to tell you that's not the attitude of the Lord Jesus. We want to tell you It's not the attitude of us. We want to preach the gospel in Mornington this evening. And I know that Len will testify to this. Although, as Len has said, you can call me a hypocrite. You can call Len a hypocrite. I can fail you. Len can fail you. But the Lord Jesus can never fail you. He's not a hypocrite. But you know, our desire in the meeting this evening is this. Not that you would just come in for some religious message. Not that you'd come in and we would perform some miracle. Not that you'd come in and we'd entertain you for a while. But that we have a love for your soul. And we desire that you'd be saved. And following the Lord Jesus like this man. Not going on before the Lord Jesus. But following behind. And glorifying God. What a wonder it is just to follow the Lord Jesus. The only way you're going to follow the Lord Jesus, the only way I can follow the Lord Jesus is by the instruction of the Lord Jesus himself. And do you know what he says in chapter 9 of this very book that we're reading? He said, if any man follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me. That's the only way we can follow the Lord Jesus. It is to take up our cross daily. Is to deny ourselves. And deny our wants. And deny our pleasures. Deny our own self-will. We've been looking at that in this gospel. And the gospel, according to Luke, the record would speak explicitly about this. As men and women were self-made men. Self-willed men. Self-absorbed men. Self-occupied, self-centered, chapter 16. And the Lord Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny that. Finish with that. It's not my will anymore, it's his will. And I've got to take up my cross. The only thing that I'm fit for is to be crucified. Just again, speaking to Bevan in the home throughout this week and just speaking about these things. There's nothing that can be done with me. I can't be painted up to be fitted for the presence of God. I can't be scrubbed up to be fitted for the presence of God. I can't be changed to be fitted for the presence of God. I was just taking up a CD again and listening to it this week. And I heard a brother say, I hadn't listened to this CD for a few years, and again, it was just refreshing to hear this brother say, it's not a new start in life you need. That may sound strange. I thought that's what you're preaching, a new start in life. It's not a changed life you need. It's a new life to start with. That's what you need. That's what I needed outside of Christ. It wasn't a new start in life. I tell you, there were many starts I had in life. Many New Year's resolutions. Many times I tried to turn over a new leaf. Many times I thought, well, I've got to start now and I've got to be different. I remember waking up one morning. I did wake up one morning and think this, but it was actually the night before as I stumbled home, absolutely intoxicated and out of my mind, having spent about 3 days putting substance into my body that just completely intoxicated my whole being, and stumbling home one night and thought I would take a shortcut across the railway lines. And I tripped over the railway lines, and the electric rails are down on the ground in England, not up overhead as they are in the southern hemisphere. And as I tripped over, I put my hand out and I brushed it against the live rail. Thousands and thousands of volts. And it shocked me right through my body and burnt my fingers and sobered me up like that. And I remember standing up. And I knew I had been so close to death. And as I walked away, I started saying to myself, and I can just still picture it as though it was a moment ago, I've got to change, I've got to change, I've got to change. Waking up the next morning, I remember going down the calf for breakfast and sitting in the calf with bacon and eggs before me, and I couldn't even stomach it, and looking at it and thinking, what am I doing with my life? I've got to change. It wasn't a change in life I needed. I didn't need to be scrubbed up. I didn't need a new start in life. I needed new life to start with. Bless God, when I came to that point on the 7th of July 2002 and realized for the first time in life that Christ is life. This man got to this point. He realized if he had been a beggar maybe for many years, if he had sat homeless at the side of the road for many years, that there was nothing in this existence that was going to lift him out from the dunghill, lift his feet out from the miry clay, lift his soul out from the pit of sin and degradation. He understood this. The Lord Jesus is passing by. He can help me. No, not the crowds that were before him. Not the crowds that even followed him. But it was the Son of God who was going to be able to heal this man, lift him from his position. Lord, that I may receive my sight. We see four things about this man. He spoke to the right person. He had the right attitude. It was that he had the right request, and it was at the right time. He spoke to the right person. He got to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We could contrast these four things with that man that we read about last night in chapter 16. He spoke to the wrong person. For when he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments, he said, Father Abraham. It's not Abraham that's going to help you, you know. It's not a priest or a pope. It's not a preacher or a pastor. It is no man of earth that's going to be able to cleanse you from your sin. There's no person of earth that's going to be able to give you divine life, to give you eternal life. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father Abraham couldn't help. He spoke to the wrong person. But this man, he got to the Son of God. He understood that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Yes, the lowly man of Nazareth. He understood he is the Son of God. He is the Christ of God. He is the Savior of the world. And he heard that he was passing by. And even if he couldn't see him, he knew, if I can cry out to this one, he'll hear me. Do you understand that this evening in the meeting? Do you understand that if you cry out to the Son of God in this very meeting, he will hear your voice? Here is a man, and he understood that glorious fact. And he cried out directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, not going through some channel. Often, and I'm not despising this, but often, people will say, after a meeting like this, can you pray for me? I know and I understand I'm a soul that's in eternal need, with an eternal need. I understand that I'm going down to hell. Can you pray for me? Yes, certainly. I would be most willing to pray for you. But I want you to understand this one thing. I can't pray you into heaven. You can't come to me as an avenue for salvation. You can't come to Len as an avenue for salvation. The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And we're here this evening with the Word of God in our hands to preach to you the message of salvation. But I can't save you, and Len can't save you. But we can tell you, you can come directly to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, and he can save you. That's the wonder of the gospel message. Many in this world have missed that. And religion upon religion will tell you that's why so many people are taken advantage of, and people are fleeced for their money, and this and that and the other thing.
That's why so many people on the street this evening are suspicious of this message we preach in here. But only if they would just come in and understand, we don't want your money. We don't want your membership. What we want is for you to get to Christ, to get salvation, and go on your way rejoicing. That's the wonder of the gospel which we preach. But we see he had the right request, to the right person, with the right attitude. What was his attitude? Son of David, have mercy on me. Here was a man that understood his need. What was the attitude of the man in Luke 16? His attitude was, get me out of here because I'm just tormented in this flame. You see, the attitude he had in life was the same attitude. The attitude he had in death was the same attitude he had had in life. A self-centered attitude. And there it was, exposed in death, in eternity, in hell. Just send Lazarus away. Just get him to dip the tip of it, dip his finger in the water, that it may be put upon my tongue. Because I am tormented in this flame, and I want him to do something for me. But if he spoke to the wrong person, he had the wrong attitude. This man, if he spoke to the right person, he had the right attitude. Oh, son of David, have mercy on me. He got to the Lord Jesus and he understood that the Lord Jesus would have compassion. Did the Lord Jesus have compassion at a time like this? Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Hear my humble cry. Here's the gentle, compassionate Son of God who came into this world, veiled his glory, and left the eternal throne that he may step into a scene of sin, of dirt, of filth, of degradation and sin. That's compassion, isn't it? That he may reach down, go to the cross, be nailed, defeat death, rise again, and bring salvation to you and I. What a wonder. What a person the Lord Jesus is. But he had the right request. What was his request? Lord, that I may receive my sight. Is there someone in the meeting this evening? Lord, that I may receive my sight. I go on from day to day just bumbling through life. And everything seems so dark and distant and seems so dismal. And I just can't seem to grasp anything. I can't seem to understand anything. You know, before I became a Christian, I remember sitting down and thinking this, what could it do to become a Christian? Honestly, what good could it do me? And I could not see what good it could do me to become a Christian. But I knew this, I was in my sins. And I knew this, there was a great separation. And I knew this, that I was under the judgment of God, but I still couldn't see what it would do for me to become a Christian. I still couldn't see what advantages there could be to become a Christian. And God wasn't going to show me, and God's not going to show you either. Because if he did, it wouldn't be faith. He doesn't just line up all these things and show, look at all these things, and you kind of weigh them up and think, oh yes, well I'll get that, I'll get that, I'll get that, and I'll get that, I'll get this and I'll get that, right, I'll become a Christian. No. You become a Christian because you understand this, Lord, I can't see anything. I understand that I'm a sinner. I'm under the judgment of God, Lord, that I may receive my sight. There's no bargaining with God. The man says that on the CD, doesn't he? Peter Orosok, who came to God, and I'll do this for you, and I'll do that for you, and you can do this for me, and you can do that for me. No, God is not interested, and he's not going to enter into bargaining. We come to God for salvation simply because we're blind. And we can't see afar off. Lord, that I may receive my sight. What did the Lord Jesus do? He stopped. He stood. He spoke. and he's saved. What a wonder. He stopped. If the crowd was rushing on, just occupied with miracles and with all the banter of the day, telling the man at the side of the road, just get out the way, will you? You're blind, you're a beggar, you're homeless anyway. What would the Lord Jesus want to do with you? He's interested not in people like you, but like us up the front. Well, I'm very thankful the Lord Jesus stopped. I'm very thankful the Lord Jesus stood. He stood in compassion. He stood in control of the whole situation. The one who held the very breath of this man in his hand. The one who upholds the universe by the word of his power. He stopped. He stood. He spoke. Wilt thou? And I shall do unto thee. Lord, that I may receive my sight. What did the Lord Jesus say? Thy faith has saved thee. What a wonder. Here was the Lord Jesus. Was he willing to save? Indeed he was. Is he willing to save? Indeed he is. The same Savior that walked the dusty streets that very afternoon or morning and save that man at the side of the road is still the same Savior we preach this evening here in Mornington, willing to save. And the Savior is here this evening. He stopped. He's standing. Maybe by faith you can see him. And he's showing you the nail prints in his hand. The one who died for you at Calvary. Would you by faith accept him this evening? Would you repent of your sin and go on to follow him and bring glory to God? That's the only way you and I are going to be able to bring glory to God, is by following the Lord Jesus. He glorified God and followed him. And all the people, when they saw it, gave glory unto God. One thing, and I'll close. If this man, he spoke to the right person with the right request and had the right attitude, and the other man in Luke 16, he spoke to the wrong person with the wrong request and had the wrong attitude. This man, what is the final contrast between these two? This man, it was at the right time. The right time. While the Lord Jesus was passing by, he took his opportunity for salvation. The other man, he left that until it was too late. And when it's too late, friend, you'll never have another opportunity. As we've said, that man that lifted up his eyes in hell, it was at the wrong time. That opportunity had passed by. His life was gone. Never again could he cry out and receive salvation. There's an opportunity for you this evening to be saved, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that I may receive my sight. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.